think I got it.
Well, there's a new thing.
Oh.
Oh, it's...
I don't know. I just pushed it twice. Like. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. Commissioner DeYoung and myself are here, and we have a couple of items on the agenda. I think the review of the board's calendar has been tabled, but we did that last week, so we should be okay. First item is a 2020 local update and census. But first, I wanted to give an update. I did watch the House Natural Resources Committee hearing this morning on review of the Antiquities Act. It started at 10 o'clock Eastern time, so 7 o'clock this morning. It was really interesting. There wasn't a specific review of the ONC or the Siskiyou Crest National Monument, but it was originally included as number 3 on the list, but then I heard it had been taken off because there's pending litigation. I don't know if that's the reason why it had been taken off the executive orders review, but the other ones were pretty convincing that there's been an overreach of the Antiquities Act. So anyway, stay tuned on that issue.
Chairman, does it mean that we were on a list to be reviewed and now we're not on a list to be reviewed?
I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate or if it's just what I've heard, but the hearing is going to take place. It took place this morning up until 5 o'clock today. Members can submit testimony, and I think ONC had suggested Congressman Walden weigh in on that and submit some recommendation that be included. It's in his district. Klamath Falls submitted testimony, and I'm sure Jackson County did as well. One of the witnesses testifying, good morning, was the chief manager for the Murphy Company. So they're involved in a lawsuit on that as well. However, they filed in Medford in the Southern Oregon court, and ONC filed on that because there's 41,000 acres of ONC lands in that, and so we filed in the D.C. District Court. The ONC Association did.
And that moves it to number 5 instead of like...
No, I think it's included in the... Well, there's two ONC issues. One was on the annual sale quantity. Okay. That was with the Rough and Ready. We're suing with the industry on that one. Just a quick review of a House Natural Resources Committee hearing that took place on the Antiquities Act this morning, and I was reviewing the lawsuits. So we're with the industry on that one, and that's under the Northwest Forest Plan's annual sale quantity. We won on the district level saying what the BLM put in their plan that they're going to put up for sale every year. Yeah, they kind of need to do that. And now they need to do it on every district statewide. That one's still going on, even though Rough and Ready, we haven't been told whether or not we're going to be accepted as a party to that case. Without that, that case goes away without us. The other one is on the resource management plan itself that the BLM just adopted, and we're suing with the industry on that one, separate from the ONC Association. So technically there could be 3 lawsuits right there. We're part of the ONC Association. They're suing, but we're formally with the industry. Industry's suing on the sustained yield number, which could be 1.5 billion board feet. The ONC Association's suing on the floor, which is 500 million board feet, which the resource management plan doesn't accomplish either one of those things. And then the last lawsuit is on the resource, on the Siskiyou Crest expansion, 48,000 acres, 42 of which is ONC. And once Congress designates lands for a specific purpose, the president doesn't have the authority to redesignate them for another purpose. Only Congress can do that. So,
and Congress wasn't in on the conversation at all.
No.
When President Obama decided that he's going to put that aside.
Yeah.
So if we're removed from the conversation, we really want to be back in the conversation, correct?
Yeah, Congress does. We're suing and saying that Congress didn't speak. They haven't changed the ONC Act. They haven't amended it. There's no provision that Congress has made to say, yeah, you can go redesignate lands we've already set aside. So anyway, that was what the hearing was about this morning. Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
I thought that was an important update, and we bought a little bit of time, and now Commissioner Morgan is here, and so we'll go forward with the item number 1, which is 2020 local update of census.
Yeah, a lot of us received those papers, and it was kind of like, who does it? Where does it go? Who answers what?
Well, and that's why I threw it to you guys, because, you know, it's going to take resources to do. And my understanding is that Bob, GIS Bob, is going to go to the training. And as far as I know, I think GIS is the place to be the place, because they're going to get information from different sources, us, planning, you know, 911, whoever else.
Can you give a little bit of, you seem to know this issue.
Not much.
Well, if I read about it, which I probably did, yeah. I don't remember it. So
I think all it, as I understand it, all it is that they want to verify addresses that they're going to be sending people out to when they start doing the census. And so, you know.
So you've been here for a little while. You were here in 2010.
Yeah, I don't remember doing anything like that.
I don't remember hearing that either.
But if you want to count everybody, and there are a lot of new properties with new addresses being assigned, we're getting a lot of new, you know, every day almost, I see.
Ask for this, you know, assessor's role or the tax something?
You know, I don't know.
Isn't there something that they should just ask for, as opposed to us? I would rather us not do a whole bunch of work.
Well, I don't know how much it is, because Bob has a lot of that information. He just has to pull it into their format, I think, would be my suspicion.
Give it to them, and they can put it in their own format. The federal government pays for that. I worked for the Census Bureau in 2000.
I don't know.
They have tons of money to go do this thing, and I actually think that sometimes censuses can be a not-so-positive thing for our community if it bumps us into an MPO kind of threshold.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're already there.
But they draw those lines any way they want, regardless of the numbers we get.
Well, yeah, they took Old Hill in to make us an MPO.
Yeah, which really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Made the punishment, or the crime fit the punishment.
Yeah.
Well, the forms they've sent, I've seen two or three come through here so far.
Okay.
And
I basically kind of ignored them until somebody called me, and all they were asking me was boundary change for the county. And I said, well, the county's boundary is still the county boundary. It hasn't changed, you know.
I think
And I think if the city's changed, that's up to the city to report that, not us. So, you know, basically that's all I
form
told.
That has
been, that looks like one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have passed it along.
What's your budget if they want something
here
on county government? What's your budget that you're sending out?
Well, you know.
Well, they actually address that in there. They say they expect it to take X amount of hours. I forget the number of hours. And they say if this is a hardship for your jurisdiction, to let them know and see what they can do, kind of a thing. Oh, no, I take that back. What it says is, if this is a hardship for your jurisdiction, maybe you can take it up, ratchet it up to the next highest level.
County.
And have them do it, up to the county level. So we're like, well, we are the county. We are the ones that are, you know, not interested in spending.
My look at it is, who's asking to do this, asking you to do the service? If it's the federal government, then I'm not going to go to the state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to the feds. You're the one asking the question, not the one to know how many people are here.
You know, I didn't know it was just going to be me up here. I kind of would have liked to have had maybe John or something, but because...
Wow, this is substantial, what they're looking to ask.
I don't think it's as onerous as it looks.
Well, they're very specific about how they want the data, and they want the data in a format that is consistent with GIS type of functions. And so I think probably all of us had seen that email from Ginny Hall when they were putting out a... it wasn't Sarah Rubrick, but one of the GIS folks over at, I think it's Rogue Valley Council of Governments, actually, is putting on kind of a regional
training
in May, I believe. And Jenny said, I'm not sure who this goes to, but hey, here it is. It went out to Julie Schmelzer and several others. And so I called Julie and said, hey, what are you guys doing with this? Because statutorily, that's who has the jurisdiction of assigning addresses is planning. And she said, yeah, I looked into it, and I called and talked to Bob Noyes in GIS, and he's taking point on it because he's going to have to be kind of, he's going to be, her words were, he was coordinating with assessor and planning and whoever, maybe potentially 911, on what the address is.
So I think what I would suggest is Bob is planning to go to the training, and I think once he has seen what it is that they want and what it entails, that maybe he needs to let you know what kind of time he sees, what kind of resources it's going to take, and then you can say whether you want him to go forward with it.
Sure.
But I think that's where it needs to happen.
I think we need to have a number to give to somebody upstairs and say, this is, we've done the math. For us to fulfill your requirement, we need this kind of money. And if they say no, they say, then we can't do it.
So, either...
I'd have to go with last year's number.
Either Bob or Bob through John, somebody over the GIS probably needs to speak to this once they have a handle on, if he goes to the training, he'll have a better handle on what they're looking for, how complicated it's going to be, what kind of time and resources he's going to need to do it. And then they will be able to better tell you if it's going to be something that's really extensive or I can do it like in a snap of my fingers.
The other thing could be is if they want it in a certain GIS format, it might be helpful for us to have that done anyway, but that doesn't make the issue go away of, well, maybe they'll pay for it. It might not be such a bad thing.
I would not want to be the one going out to Illinois Valley and walking out there and saying, okay, I'm from the Census Bureau, I need to know how many people are here.
I work for them, and it's challenging. Mm-hmm.
The present situation we've got with the new cannabis industry, I don't know where anything.
Well, and the other thing the other thing that's happening is that, we don't feed them into our system, but I am almost weekly getting situs updates that are exclusive farm zone property, and they're doing it Suite A, Suite B, Suite C, and what is it? They're marijuana plots.
Yep.
It's not an address for a home or a business. It's an address for a marijuana plot.
Well, and it was one of those things that they're getting so many of them. And I finally, it's one of those things that we were talking about the makeup of the Marijuana Advisory Committee. And this topic came up. And I said, well, you shouldn't be able to divide it more than what the law would allow the property to be divided. They can't have 100 addresses on a plot that's not divisible by 100. That makes sense. So what would the zoning ever allow that to be broken up by should be the minimum allowable addresses there. But
yeah.
So they might be changing, but literally they have people coming in and wanting 100 addresses for one piece of property.
Yeah. And we're not putting them in our system. We got one legal address, and that's it. And these other ones, if they're doing it to skirt the OLCC rules.
Is there a minimum, like, for instance, if somebody says, okay, I've got one and I want 7 different addresses here, do we have a minimum of what it takes, a minimum tax bill for an address, regardless of what the value is?
No.
It's still tax lots. Addresses and tax lots are different, right?
Yeah.
Or should they be?
So planning usually assigns an address number once a dwelling has been approved or built.
We don't have a policy guiding whether or not it's suite or A or B. One or two or something like that when people do have multiples.
Because we have to generate a separate document and a separate file for like 1044A, 1044B, 1044C if those are all different addresses.
Not for the tax bill. I mean, take a simple legal thing. We have a property with a duplex on it, and those duplexes each have their own address. It's still one tax bill that goes out.
So in Oregon.
But we can look it up by either address. But when they're doing these suites for marijuana plots, I'm not putting those in. That's ridiculous.
I was just thinking if you had a $500 minimum for every little address you have.
No.
You don't.
It doesn't look at it that way. So I don't know if we solved anything, but...
Well, we'll revisit this issue. That's what I put on there when...
We can find out when Bob's supposed to go to that hearing and let you know the date.
Yeah.
Then.
If you could inform me, we're looking at it from the standpoint of how much this is going to cost. What's his estimate to do this and get it all on a GIS format that they're requiring?
Mm-hmm. And we already provide this information to IT / GIS because for our monthly uploads to keep our website up to date. So as far as any cost on our end, just for what it's worth, it would be little to none on our end. We already have it. It's a matter of just exporting the data. The cost is going to come on, you know, Bob's side, working with planning. Do they want the suite numbers or not? And what?
And 911 and all of that. So there's coordination between different departments to pool all the addresses. But
well, I like all those that come into consideration when you're coming up with this estimate that it's going to cost to do this.
Yeah.
Because if they have, as you say, we might have some money for it. And if they have money,
sure.
You know, you're using your time and taxpayer time to do something for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, possibly they can send us a check. Well, it's every 10 years. Why don't they just send us one every 10 years? Okay.
Well, the idea that they're not supporting Secure Rural Schools anymore, they're not sending us money.
No, they don't.
For these kind of, you know, you could probably argue from a federal perspective, look, we're giving you, like, well, you're not managing your federal forest land, so I don't really see it. But without that, there really isn't any tie of federal resources coming here. So
I think we're coming to a head on that. I think it's slow getting there, but I think this thing's going
to... I don't think we should miss an opportunity to tell the feds, look,
yeah,
you used to help us out, you're not. And
this isn't business as usual, because it can't be business as usual. When we were earning the money by selling timber, we'll throw that in. Sure, we can do that.
And helping other districts. We don't help other.
We can't.
We don't have the resources.
We're to the point where we can't really do anything. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much, you guys. Appreciate it. We'll revisit this.
Okay.
I had a...
we're waiting until after the May...
Yeah,
training.
After their training.
I think after the training, then Bob should have a better handle on what's involved.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can have Bob
and John.
Yeah. John and you guys come back after that.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's possible, but I just lost a piece of paper that was sitting right here. So there was a request that we submit. Oh, it's right on the top. A letter to AOC. Well, actually, it's to... the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. This made it onto the agenda. Did one of you guys request this regional solutions letter?
No.
I did?
On infrastructure?
Yeah, the hearing, the time for it was April 20th, so it's come and gone. I can probably reach out and find out whether or not it's in our, if it's even necessary to do that. So it's based on the Regional Infrastructure Fund, House Bill 5025, Senate Bill 5530, and just encouraging them to keep appropriating regional solutions dollars. Who's the liaison? You are.
To Public Works?
No, to Regional Solutions.
Transportation?
It's the Governor's Regional Solutions Committee.
It's part of RV.
No, it's
COG?
Just Regional Solutions.
Or the house with RV COG.
So it's me. Mm-hmm.
No,
I
it's actually run out of the, it is, but it's actually the, our offices with Soray.
Soray, that's the other one. They were all at the RV COG meeting together,
okay.
So that's why
that makes sense.
They're all.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll reach out and find out. I don't know that it really matters. Honestly, so I think I talked to somebody or mentioned this in a meeting at some point that, so if they've had two rounds per biennium of appropriating dollars, it's $4 million that's come to this region. I'm not sure what the final number was of their appropriation to the East Side Taxiway Engineering. We asked for about $500,000. I think they appropriated $425,000, and Larry ended up only needing X number of dollars. So that's all that they've given to Josephine County out of the $4 million, which is, let's just say, roughly $400,000, 10%.
10%. How big is the region?
Just Josephine and Jackson.
So they get 3.5 million and we got 400,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we need to do a better job. And the project that we had, I thought was kind of a stretch. Everybody thought was kind of a stretch, Betsy Johnson included, of regional solutions money of appropriating to a FAA funded.
What was the project?
It was the East Side Taxiway. it was the preliminary engineering and things showing the FAA that we're serious about this need. The region said it was our number one priority in Josephine County, and getting that done. The other projects that have been, there was a Fry Family Farm project. My concern, and I think I may have even voted against that one from a standpoint that it was investing state dollars in developing cold storage and a shipping opportunity for regionally organic produced food. So their argument was is that the region is saturated with the locally produced agricultural commodities, and they need to ship them somewhere. They need to ship them down south, up north, east, somewhere. But there really isn't anybody. They're all niche. They're all fairly small, kind of truck farm style. So nobody's got the capacity to have the processing and packaging necessary to do that.
You don't have a Harry and David or something.
Yeah. The concept was great, but I said I can't support this without this is giving money directly to one person, one family, one entity, one company. That is not the way a cooperative model ought to be set up. You need to set up a cooperative. It needs to be joint ownership, and there needs to be a governing board that's not just one entity. And then we'll give them money to do this.
Yeah. Well, but as it is,
it's the goodwill of this one farm that got all of this money, about $500,000, to set this up. And there's nothing in it statutorily that says tomorrow they can't say, well, actually, you guys are all competitors. I'm going to diversify my portfolio of what I grow on the Fry Family Food Farm, and you're all out. I'm not taking any locally grown stuff. It's only coming off of Fry Family, and that's what I'm using this production processing. And everybody goes, oh, no, they would never do that. I'm not interested in what the people are going to do it today.
You don't know,
I'm interested in what they're going to do when they sell this piece of property. Right. Well, it's been in our family. You know what? So is Rough and Ready. And they're not there anymore. So, you know, that's good government.
Good point.
And this was not done. I was the only one with an ag business degree at the table. I'm like, that's what you do. You set it up that way. So I had some pushback on that one. But it passed and it went through anyway. You know, I support it. It's just could have been done better.
So did they set up this? They didn't. What did they use the for?
Yeah, they used all the money for $500,000 and stuff and set it all up. And I've never toured it, but apparently it's pretty cool.
Where is it out at?
Oh, it's in Central Point.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So it does kind of feed the Applegate Valley and stuff, but it's a long way from the Illinois Valley.
So let me see if I got this right. There's $4 million. Jackson County gets $3.5 million. We get $4.25 million.
No, we get
$420,000 or whatever to build a facility in Jackson County. So we really got nothing.
No. Our $400,000 was our airport.
That's
the airport. Okay,
engineering and preliminary design.
Yeah, okay. So we got
something. Okay. Yeah, we got 10%. And that was my project to say, we got to come up with something. And what's holding us back over there? Well, this initial, and that's counted as match money for the East Side Taxiway. So we're, that just moved that project light years ahead, figuratively speaking, for the airports, as slow as they move. But we need to think about other projects that are of regional significance that, add to the economy. Those are the create jobs, that kind of stuff. So if there's a structural thing they've got all of this irrigation projects that are going on over there and all sorts of things. So maybe take a look at the state. You're on the regional solutions. You might take a look. You've got a creative mind. You guys both can figure out what are those projects that we can propose and start on now and say, we need, I would ask for all of it next time. The first round, Jackson County got all of it, so why not? They're going to have lots of competitive projects. The other, anything I want to...
Well, I think I would just want to find out what are they looking for in the project so we can be thinking on how to think outside the box.
Yeah. So that is all for our agenda here today. Other, item number 4, Commissioner Young.
I'd like to see us, and it was a Rogue Valley Council of Governments, one of the members over there said how do we get more people in our meetings and weekly business session type things. And what they decided to do was to take the meeting to the people. And I thought it was a pretty good idea, and I'd like the board to consider the possibility of having one weekly business session a quarter in, say, Cave Junction, one in Williams, and maybe one in Wolf Creek, you know, or Sunny Valley or something, where you can actually take the meeting to the people rather than requiring them to come to town. Logistically, I visited a little bit with Wendy and Terry, logistically, how that would happen, you know, as far as our recordings and taking your minutes and stuff, and they said
sure.
It's achievable.
Okay.
But I mentioned it to Dan Mancuso the other day when I was out in Cave Junction, and he said that'd be huge. That'd be huge for the commissioners
to
come
that.
Out here once a quarter and just maybe have a town hall ahead of the regular meeting and then have the meeting.
Okay.
So I mean, it's just something, if the board thinks that's something you want to do, then the gentleman at Rogue Valley Council of Governments, and I apologize, I don't catch who he was or where he's from. I only caught the tail end of his conversation. He said it's extremely popular.
Well, it'd have to be like from the county, because nobody else, you know, Medford
yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
need to go anywhere else. You know, every other city is
yeah.
where they're at. Okay. Well, I'm in favor of it. Sounds good. I can't think of an objection other than the fact that there are people that tune in and to our televised ones, and they
right.
wouldn't be televised.
Wouldn't be televised, no.
I mean, we don't have the capacity to capture those.
Does our televised broadcast go to Illinois Valley?
It goes on YouTube, so it goes anywhere in the world. You can log into YouTube now and get access to those archived there. So I don't have any objection to setting that up, I think. So if you're interested in kind of spearheading where
yeah.
and when. And
yeah, I'd be glad to. I think
quarterly sounds good.
Yeah, I think quarterly.
And you're thinking of a substitute for like an evening week, evening meeting here.
Right, so. Evening meeting, or, you know, set it up so that, you know, the consideration of, you know, our staff's got to go with us, one of the staff, so mm-hmm. we'll take that into consideration. Also.
Okay.
Kick that around.
Any objection, Commissioner Morgan?
No, I was just trying to think of the where's we would meet. The, you know, they have the community place in Wolf Creek. There's not
Wolf
really
the fire hall.
There's not really a meeting location in Sunny Valley, but there is a community church there, kind of off by the three crosses.
They're probably not going to want the politics.
I hear you. I'm just logistically
no
talking about building space.
We've met in specific things in all
Cave Junction has a community hall. The Grange in
Williams. So just kind of, there's a school in Williams too, if not the Grange.
Yep.
So
we've met in the high school before, the school, the gym.
So just
American Legion Hall out there is pretty popular in Williams also. Just at the tail end of Water Gap Road before you
yeah,
left
yeah, right in that curve.
Wolf Creek is fine for the north part of the county. Merlin is close enough that they can come.
I think
here.
Merlin's close enough to get, you know, we'll play it by ear and see how that works.
Okay.
We seem to touch Merlin quite often.
It certainly makes sense to start maybe in Cave Junction.
I think Cave Junction
missed
the
last quarterly meeting out there, so as soon as you want to, maybe we just schedule the next evening session, which is coming up in a week. That'll be too short a notice, I would imagine. Kind of give some lead time.
Let's take a look at, you know, maybe I can come up with a schedule, what would work for staff and us, and we'll go from there.
Anything else?
Well, and it's not necessarily our evening meetings. It's not necessarily our evening meetings.
I was thinking it could be a substitute for our evening meeting
right.
here.
Yes, but we only have three. And if every quarter we're wanting to be in Cave Junction,
three what?
Three
12.
Evening meetings per quarter.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to do them all, just one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what, because I heard you say be in Illinois Valley every quarter. And so that means one of our three
no,
of every quarter
said,
will be out there.
He said to do a meeting
okay.
Quarterly.
Yep.
So I figure one of the three.
Yeah.
And that way you'd have an option. Could be done out there.
This is kind of a trial balloon. We'll see if it's extremely popular. Maybe we'll step it up. But I think we just need to start. We'll see how it's accepted.
I wouldn't want to do more than a quarterly from a standpoint that we have the television, you know, mm-hmm. it's YouTube. So I think that it will spark interest in people coming to our weekly business
session. Gosh, if Dale Matthews is still here, he'd have his camera all set up and ready to go.
People will come, you know, if they figure out what are you doing, you know. Yeah. So, okay, all right. Sounds good. Let's start it out. Anything else from you, Commissioner Morgan?
I think yesterday's meeting over at the city, you brought up a very good point. We were fifth, basically. That was a token meeting in my mind. It was just an exercise in, hey, we've got the board together with the council. But there was real no agenda. We were not part of the agenda build.
No. And I made that point when they sent it out that previous week. And I said, do you want to add anything? And I said, it's like Thursday or Friday when you send this out. It is what it is. What I first asked for is other on the agenda, other items that we could bring up. Because if you don't have that, the public gets the impression that
all
you're talking about is what's on the agenda. And that's not fair, because we always put other on the agendas where we can. And the other thing is that we did have issues to talk about. I mean, Commissioner Morgan brought up that we were going to talk about the courtyard area, and that's a joint issue. And there was a number of things that we would have liked to have talked about. Plus, structuring the meeting, it's the idea that every time we have an elected official, regardless of what meeting we have, we address their issue first out of respect.
Right.
And what they have, you know, they don't work for the board. They work with the board. So the idea that they had other issues, you know, agenda build before we were done, no, that's not appropriate. It's just a decorum kind of a thing that they're of a different,
and I think their counselors would have enjoyed the interaction and were looking for that.
Well, it's up to their mayor and council president and an administrator to organize those things.
City manager and assistant secretary. And just along that note, I noticed that both of you had your phones out and were messing with your phones again. And Darren, Mayor Fowler said, please turn your phones off before the meeting. He said, please turn on your mobile devices off.
I didn't hear that
either.
Yeah, he says that before everyone, you know, it's time to turn everything off. And I just, you know, I just happened to glance over and you were both.
Well, I think when they were talking about their agenda build,
they were talking about other stuff that wasn't us.
I'm not going to just sit there. But you're right, I probably was during Laura Glover's presentation on the road.
I would just, you know, it just doesn't look good. If I'm sitting up there on the dais and I'm going, you know, there's three of you down there, and two of you, I don't know what you're doing. You may be filling out your last will and testament for all I know. Or maybe something very important like Lily, when she had her situation, you know, you can get interrupted for that. I don't think anybody minds you excuse yourself from the table. I have to take them.
Yeah.
But you know, I like that. And I'm not a computer person, but I find it rude in a way. So I just wanted to bring it up because it's an observation from me, but we're invited over there.
I agree.
There.
I think it's a joint meeting. We're just having it over there.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the tables at the level that they are gives the impression like we're the invited group because it's in their house and it's at their deal. And I don't know. I don't think the council would feel comfortable in our chamber if they were sitting up, you know, off to the side at tables. So maybe it alternates every other month how we do this.
That certainly could, because they're both telehouse.
The other thing is that we're working administrators. They're policy-focused counselors. Their whole thing, they're not running the county. I was talking with John over email, figuring out whether or not we were going to televise our budget meeting. You need a little bit of lead time on there. That was just one example of what I was doing during that meeting to I don't know, I was working. So anyway, I will do a better job, but I think I've reached out to them and said, we want to be part of the agenda build next time. We're going to feel included and attend those things.
We want to be part of it, not a guest.
Not only that, I don't like the idea that you're presented the Fruitdale, or excuse me, the Allen Creek project. You're the liaison to that. You need to be part of those discussions for refining where our position is very clear, very laid out. It's no different than when we did the UGB with you two on the council. Weren't you both on there? I sent my letter with 9 elements. I remember them to this day and could probably reiterate them what it is that I need to see from the UGB for me to sign it. And that was acting on behalf of the board as the chair at that time. And, you know, these are just the things that we got to see, you know, the Bayless property. We're not signing the UGB if it's still split. Go back and sharpen your pencils and figure it out. It's stuff like that that you have about the Allen Creek project that keep presentation after presentation that you, your questions are not answered.
Yeah. And I shouldn't have had to get in a discussion at yesterday's meeting. That should have been
done.
Okay, come on over here. We've revamped this. Does this look okay?
Yeah.
So on and so forth. That was the first
one of the
I'd
concerns of that I have is their argument against the roundabout, the first one, that it takes too much to the Huddleston property. I have to remember all of the roundabouts that I've been in the Bend area or around the world. Around the world, you don't have the trucks, the tractor trailers that we have here, so you take those out. But in Bend, they're facilitating tractor trailer traffic, and they don't have that 300
small.
They don't have that 300 foot. Merge back into the lane deal.
I think the big thing that broke down the communication on the Huddleston property is if you saw, I said, what's this grid over here? And it's their retention pond for storm drain. They were going to take almost all of Huddleston's property.
Yeah.
And that's where the big, I think that's what nixed that roundabout.
The reality is you can design it much more efficiently. You almost come up to a stop and take a 90-degree turn almost on some of them. You don't need these long, sweeping...
Yeah, and I struggle with the stormwater aspect because Allen Creek is down there a block and a half.
Yeah.
Go right down Harbeck and dump all your stormwater into Allen Creek and be done with it.
Right.
You don't have to have a retention pond. It's right next to the creek.
Right.
I didn't get that, but...
Well, they're probably anticipating the waters of the U.S. and the... purifying and treating of this stuff before it goes in there. I don't know. Anything else?
I think I put out a fire yesterday with public health.
Good.
We would have had egg on our face in a big way. And I'm disappointed. I'm also disappointed in legal. They weren't going to present it to us till next week at executive session, which would have been after everything had happened. That's not appropriate.
No.
We should not find out after the fact. So
I'm feeling a little frustrated with legal in that regard as well. I try to make a point to go in there as the chair and liaison to legal on a regular basis to try to give them advice about certain things like this. And when I go in there, hey, how's it going? Anything for me? I ask that every chance I get. And I wasn't brought up to speed on this. I haven't been brought to speed up on a lot of things that are happening in planning or other places, violations that we have pending or something like that. And I can't have that disconnect with any department I have, let alone the focal point of everything going through the county, which is legal. So that's a real challenge, and I don't know how to bridge that gap. So
my liaison just happened to mention a topic on Friday, and I said, I'm not familiar with that topic. So they forwarded me an email that had a long string of things in it, and I go, okay, they're dealing with it. You know, I didn't expect the next thing would be Monday to be told they're going to shut that restaurant down today. And so I got involved and made some phone calls and then made staff call the restaurant, and it turns out our information was off.
Yeah.
And we would have jeopardized
that
a business.
Huge.
Oh, they
monumental.
They were talking, I'm getting emails about, should we put out a press release?
Yeah.
And even at the end of the day, after our staff apologized to the restaurant and said, go forth with what you're doing, I still had the department head defending the action. And I'm concerned because we were wrong. And the only thing in that email yesterday, and that's true of things, is it'll be an executive next week. It would have been over by that
Why
point.
Why isn't it executive later today?
The damage would have been done.
Yes.
Why isn't it on executive today?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we have one today.
It should have been. They had enough time yesterday. I just dealt with it instead of wait for executive
session.
Yeah,
you don't need to. You've got
go for it. You bet.
But
that's the whole point of having a liaison, is you can go deal with it in a timely fashion where you don't have to have the board together. And if you did take an action, we do an after action, and we ratify your decision if you need board stuff.
I intervened and made them actually communicate and realize what was going on, and it wasn't as was presented.
Well, I think for me, and I hired that department manager, and I think I've hired most of these, save two. And every time I do, I say, you're here as long as I'm never surprised by anything that's going on. And by extension, yours is the same charter. I never want to be surprised. I never want to read it in the paper, because if I don't hear about it beforehand, I'm going to still be here. They may not. You only get one chance. You don't get more than one, because I only get one chance. You only get one chance. If your mic has been handed to you and saying, would you like to comment, you know, liaison Commissioner Morgan, on this issue of shutting down a restaurant that's starting out the season? The ripple effect of a restaurant getting that reputation this early in the season is huge. It's huge.
And the
so
fact
you
that
have to have your ducks 100% in a row before you make some of those that decision. And really, should have checked in with you beforehand. Said, this is what I'm planning to do, just so you know, heads up. And she knows that. They all know that. So regardless of where they feel the decision is, they should have been communicating with you, if nobody else.
Well, and what I find interesting is how you said that. I used that word surprised with the business owner at least 5 times. I said, I don't like surprises, and I didn't want you to be surprised by this. And they were completely caught off guard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's fixed. The fire has been extinguished enough.
It's the process. It's like what I asked for yesterday over there. It's like, these things can't happen, because next time you may not have gotten that little tidbit on Friday. And that's where somebody loses their job. And we don't want that.
We're
not for something
trust.
Like that.
We're going to build trust, not tear it apart.
No. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's a conversation I'm sure you're going to have or have had. Or
no, we're going to today.
That's really important. If there's a disconnect between us and the managers, that's where everything starts unraveling. So, anyway.
On the levy front, I did a radio show yesterday with Bill Myers, and I did the Jefferson Public Radio this morning. I was on with Joshua, and it was I thought we came out very well on
Joshua Robinson.
Yeah, we were able to explain.
Yeah,
and when it came down to it, the guy asked me, he says, "Well, so this whole thing is about nobody can afford this deal." And I explained to him that, you know, you really need to look at your tax and so on and so forth. My own personal one was $18 a month, and yeah, that's a lot of money to me. But if when I had a mortgage, my tax bill said this is not a bill, and I would get my payment book, and it was up $11 a month, and I would think nothing of it. But if it's up $11 on your tax statement, it's the end of the world. And so they're both going to the same spot. It's just different people paying for it. So we got our point across. And at the end, he says, so the only thing that Republican Party is against is the amount of money and that people can't afford it. But other than that, you see merit in this whole thing? And he says, yeah, but it's the money. And it's all about the money. And so I don't think that's going to hold water with a lot of people.
There was an interview I did yesterday on the budget and the the proposed reductions, the pink slips and stuff. And there was a nice woman downtown that was interviewed and said, I just think that they spend money on silly things. And I wanted to follow up with, I want you to name, you said silly things. Okay. There's probably lots of stuff. Give me one right here, right now. I would bet $100 right now she can't name a single thing. Nice little old lady.
Yeah.
I know her.
There was a guy called in, and he said, well, you know, you never do with the money. When we give you the money, you never do it, and there's absolutely no follow-up. There's no oversight or anything. And I said, it's right in the ballot language that there'll be an audit every year. I said, it's audited it's on our fact sheet. There'll be an audit done every year.
Yeah.
That's accountability, number one. And number two is you make the statement that we never do what we say we're going to do with the money. But I said, there's been 8 to 10, however you want to gauge it, of levies that have absolutely failed. So when did you give us the money to say, make that kind of statement?
Animal control, and I bet you it's going to pass because we did do exactly what people said with that money, went to animal control.
Yep, and I said, you have no basis for saying to the people that we don't do with the money what we say we're going to do because you had never given us the money. I said, maybe you should try this. Try it just once. We've tried to word it so that everybody knows what it's going to do and how it's going to do it. And if we don't do it, then you can have basis. Then we'll probably never get anything again, but just give us a shot, you know?
Yeah. It's really interesting. These people are so impassioned with their arguments, and yet they're so shallow from a standpoint.
But they're the same.
There's nothing
stop,
there.
Rewind, play. And it's the exact same thing they've used over and over and over and over again for the last.
You know, it's really funny, even if they use the example of the road dollars. They're called road dollars for a reason. And they've been dedicated to roads. You know that legislation to do gas tax? That is so binding as far as how and when and where they can use it. 1% for multimodal. There's so many restrictions on that because the people want their money to go where they want it to go. And then we've got all these advocates to take something that has been dedicated to roads and go pay for a couple of bridge-to-nowhere deputies, and then they chastise us for saying, well, you're not going to use the money the way we gave it to you.
Yep.
I challenge
can't you see the balance here? Of
no-win situation.
Matter of fact, I had one of...
It's also really important that we not discuss anything of the budget. We are a part of the budget committee.
Yeah.
And we have to abide by those same laws. So those things are...
I hear you there. No, the question, the statement was that the commissioners are neglectful to not prioritize the money and spend it where we want. And I countered and said, on one hand, we're told we won't spend the levy money as we said, and on the other, you're telling us we're neglectful if we don't spend it any way we want. How is that appropriate? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I didn't say that. I just said the neglectful part. You know, I didn't say you won't spend the levy as you said you would. But it's like, well, how do you keep people happy when you want both sides?
Yeah.
The other one I heard was the money we spent on high-cost motels in Salem should be spent on public safety. So
yep.
I was trying to think of how many times I stayed with my sister. That one's high cost.
You had to cook.
I didn't get any retirement for the first 4 years, not a dime. And I was 32, which is your prime opportunity when you need to be saving for retirement. I didn't do that for 4 years. The equivalence is like $25,000, $30,000 or something like that, $25,000, $30,000. I can travel as much as I want when I'm advocating for the state to do their job here. One of those pans out, one of those resources, revenue streams, pays for itself 100 times. And there's nobody else advocating for these kinds of positions because nobody's in our position the way we are. At 58 cents, not even Douglas County, who wants to try to present like they're in a fiscally tight situation. You know what they did last year for the first time? They started charging their citizens for trash services. Yeah, we divested our library responsibility that you're talking about doing this year 10 years ago. So don't come talking to me like they're in this fight together, or Jackson County.
Yeah.
Pulling out of AOC because AOC didn't correct testimony in a hearing that said Jackson County was not a fiscally distressed county. If they ever try to be in a conversation like they're the same thing that we are in,
oh, no.
I will be... eternally offended that they find themselves
4.1 million and they collect 64 million.
Yeah, it's like they're
not even close.
Not even close, people. So, I'll get a whiteboard out and draw it out for them in crayon if they can't get it. But
so they officially pulled out of AOC?
They did. They are officially pulled out at the end of the legislative session this year. So, I think they've got other reasons to do so.
Is there any other counties that have ever pulled out?
I'm sure there are, but that's the only ones that I remember. They were just coming back in when I took office in 2011. I think they pulled out.
So they've done this multiple times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for them. I mean, you only see Colleen Roberts at the meetings anyhow.
Which is fine. I used to be the only one who attended the meetings. That's not a problem. It's the fact that you need to lean into the problem and try to fix it.
Well, I think collectively, AOC and I said it from the very beginning, I didn't see the value in AOC, but I do now. I see real strong alliances that Commissioner Morgan and I are making at county college level. And that those are things that are going to transcend and last.
I think it's the beginning of bridging
Lily's
the gap
a heck of an
between
on AOC.
The rural-urban divide. If you can't do it at the county level, how do you ever expect to do it at the legislative level?
And the county level, really, for representation, is probably the strongest because there's 3 commissioners per county and sometimes 5. It's not district up. It's each county, even if you've got a small population, you have 3 representatives at the table. So it's pretty strong at the county level.
Well, and the other piece that we have to be better about explaining is that we are a subsidiary of the state, that we are a function connected to state. The state still makes regulations that impact us. They make financial decisions that impact us. And if we're not at the table representing Josephine County in that fashion to describe how that's there, then what I've learned about our state representatives is they're assigned different areas, kind of like we have our liaisonships.
Mm-hmm.
They
well,
are not familiar with every area.
No.
And they can't, with 2,600 measures, they can't represent us on every one.
Well, no.
And we have to be mindful of how they impact us and be at that table as well. Just because we're a home rule charter does not mean that we can flip our noses up at the state and say, you know, and so intentionally, I've been there other than the very first testimony, which I would have been there anyhow for county college. But that first testimony was to honor 2 Josephine County deputies who died in the line of duty. Every other testimony has been about revenues that can come to Josephine County.
Well, that's what Forum does.
I need to make a phone call real quick.
Okay.
We can be done.
I'm done.
There's one other thing. Mike MacArthur, speaking of AOC, he serves on the Oregon Geographic Names Board and reached out to me. They're looking to correct a name, Malone Peak, in Josephine County, to Maloney Peak with a Y. Apparently, the Y was dropped off the maps in 1950. Michael B. Maloney settled the lower Wolf Creek area in the 1890s, and the peak is on BLM land, and they have... they've been sent the proposal, so the idea is to have it officially renamed with the Y and fixed. So
if it was meant to be after the
They do a bunch of that stuff, so I just need the board to say that's okay, and we'll move it forward.
Yep.
I'm sure the BLM will do their its own research and make sure that...
So long as they have the documentation to prove
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. There's a gentleman, Danny Schilberg, in Wolf Creek, who's saying, you know, it really should be Maloney, not Malone.
As long as they don't allocate a whole bunch of money to reprint all the maps and everything to add that Y, that they phase that in as they are printing maps that from here forward,
that'll probably be there. Yeah. So, okay, we will see you guys this afternoon at the legal briefing at 2 o'clock. I have a parks workshop meeting at 3, so I'm going to try to see if we can get that legal meeting done in an hour.
Okay.
As quickly as possible. And then we have the budget, first budget committee meeting at 6.
Just to give you a heads up, today I am going to Aspire is hosting a Dream Builders Luncheon.
Okay.
And so I'm going to that, and then I'll be there.
I'm really going to try to hold our business meetings
sure.
To 4 to 6. We have private sector members in here. We have staff. And I do want to take plenty of time for public comment as well.
The budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
KDRV has been publicizing and encouraging people to attend, so
right.
I imagine you're going to have a packed house.
Yeah, we'll find out. Okay, with nothing further, the board is adjourned at 9:54. Thank you so much.